Ignoring me?
He cocked his head to the side. I crossed my arms and leaned against the door. I was too tired to engage in a conversation with him. I couldn't believe his nerve. To think he could demand to go out with me at any hour of the day. To show up where I was and simply assume that I was willing and ready to follow him wherever he wanted to go.
Mr. Statham?
His driver's voice came over the intercom.
Are we set to go, sir?
Yes, Greg. Thank you.
He slid close to me and whispered, talk to me.
Are you upset?
Yes.
What's wrong?
He slid his fingertips across my cheek. You should have told me about this yesterday. You could have at least asked. What if I had important plans?
You don't.
That's not the point.
Then what is?
What the hell are we doing, Jonathan? What the fuck is this? I need to know right now. Where are you honestly expecting this to go? He sighed and reached over the seats ahead of us, grabbing a pillow and a blanket. He placed the pillow in his lap and pulled me down onto it. He draped the blanket over my body and shook his head. I groaned. Are you going to answer my questions?
No.
He fluffed the pillow and planted a kiss on my forehead.
It's going to take us a while to get there, and you seem tired. Go to sleep.
I looked out over the balcony and sighed as sheets of rain fell over the distant city. I was sailing on Jonathan's newest yacht, an all-black luxury liner with 6 levels, and I'd spent most of the morning letting him give me a tour.
Why do you always cut your sentences off like that?
He handed me a cup of hot coffee.
Are you scared I'm going to use your stories against you or something?
No, I'm sorry. What was I saying?
You always thought you and your ex-husband would.
Right. I always thought we would be together forever. You know? I shook my head. I gave him every part of me when we were married. And when it was over, I didn't have any pieces left for myself. And the one person who should have had her shoulder ready and waiting for my tears was lying in bed with him.
Did she say anything to you after the grocery store incident?
No. My heart ached. We never spoke again after that. And whenever my daughters come back from seeing their dad, they know better than to give me a full recap.
Do you still have feelings for your ex-husband?
What do you mean?
Do you still think about him? Or wish that you could have gotten back together if the circumstances were different?
I think there'll always be a part of me that'll love the old him and miss the magic I thought we had, but a part of him always belonged to Amanda, so I'm sorry for bringing this depressing stuff up. I just...
Don't be.
He kissed my cheek.
I'm glad you did. Did you ever talk to anyone else about it?
I went to therapy sessions at Sandra's practice. I had to force myself to go for the first few months, but after a while I started seeing how beneficial it was. He sighed.
If me and my mom could get through a complete hour of therapy without pissing each other off, maybe it would be beneficial for us, too.
Do you still talk to your foster parents?
I haven't said one word to them since I ran away.
What? They never came looking for you?
Of course they did. The state police showed up to my dorm once I started taking classes. But I was 18, so they couldn't force me to go back.
They didn't ask you for any money once you became a billionaire?
They didn't need to.
He paused.
I'd always dreamed of getting them back for treating me so terribly. But I realized it was easier to forgive them and forget they ever existed. I took care of all their debts and gave them enough money so they won't have to work for the rest of their lives.
That was very sweet of you. You didn't have to do that.
They tried getting in contact with me to say thank you, but I never called them back. Probably never will. I told Corey to tell them the message was received.
Your foster parents are his real parents? He nodded.
He's still mad at them for how they treated me, but he can't write them off like I can.
And your foster sister? What happened to her?
Jessica? She's my executive assistant.
He smiled.
When Haley finishes grad school, Jessica will become a trust advisor and Haley will be my new EA.
Must be nice. You plan on ever forgiving your own parents? He took a deep breath and balled his fists. He looked off into the distance, and then he looked over at me.
Not for a very long time. Would you, if you were me?
I don't know, I shrugged. I guess I can't imagine Ashley and Caroline not wanting me to be a part of their lives when they got older.
That's because you always wanted to be a part of theirs.
He clenched his jaw and I knew that the conversation was over. He was clearly still hurting from his past with his parents, and I wasn't sure if he would ever get over it, just like I wasn't sure if I would completely get over Ryan. We both sat underneath the ship's awning and looked out into the rainy horizon, drifting into different memories, different places. "What was your first impression of me?" I asked, trying to break the silence. He turned to face me and smiled.
"Jesus, she's sexy."
"You're lying."
"It's true." "What was yours?"
"He's sexy, but he's wearing a hoodie, so he's probably way too young for me." I laughed and he rolled his eyes.
"Glad we've cleared that up."
"Have we?"
"If you think we haven't, I can think of a few ways to make you say we have."
He pulled me close and kissed me.
"I've been meaning to ask you this. Do you know how to dance?"
"We danced together at my birthday party before, so I guess..."
"I don't remember us really dancing at your birthday party."
I rolled my eyes. "No, I just know how to sway to the music. I never took the time to learn."
"Let's work on that."
He reached for my hands and pulled me up.
"You said you liked the dance floor on the top deck earlier, right? I think that's the perfect place for a Sunday lesson."
"The dance floor is outside, and it's raining."
"How observant."
He laughed and walked me upstairs, into a room full of audio equipment. He flicked a few switches, and the screens that were on the wall became blue.
"Good morning, Mr. Statham."
A gray-haired man walked into the room and tipped his hat.
"How are you today?"
"I'm great, Sam. Have I introduced you to Claire before?"
"No, sir."
He placed his hand on the small of my back and pushed me forward.
"Claire, this is my captain, Sam. He directs all of my yachts. Sam, this is..."
He paused.
"This is my girlfriend, Claire."
Did he just say girlfriend? Is he out of his mind?
"Pleasure to meet you, miss."
Sam reached out and shook my hand.
"The co-captain is now at the wheel, sir. I'll be retiring to my cabin for the rest of the day."
"Thank you, Sam."
I waited for Sam to leave the room and narrowed my eyes at Jonathan. "We have titles now?"
"Of course not," he said. "I just thought girlfriend sounded better than woman I like very much and love to fuck. But if you prefer that..."
He hit another switch and the outdoor dance floor lit up.
"I think we should start with the waltz. That should be easy enough."
He grabbed my hand and led me outside. The rain was still drizzling and a light fog was creeping onto the deck. I heard the sound of strings and piano keys floating out of the speakers. Felt Jonathan spinning me around to face him.
"So," he said as he looked into my eyes, "we should see if you have any rhythm first."
He pulled me into his arms and moved me to the beat, but I couldn't keep up. For every step he took forward, I stepped back. For every movement to the right, I awkwardly moved to the left.
"And you clearly don't,"
he laughed. I let go of him and crossed my arms. I'd never been good at dancing. My mom had given up on me becoming her ballet protege once I turned 5. She even joked about how Ashley and Caroline must have gotten their dancing skills from Ryan.
"It's okay."
He pulled me back and held my hands out in front of me.
"Just let me lead and we'll take things slow. Everyone has to start somewhere. Step right, then left."
He started adding more instructions. Double step, twist out, step back. And before I knew it, we were waltzing across the wet floor. I tried not to look into his eyes, to act like I was too focused on following his commands, but he made it so easy that I couldn't help but gaze at him.
"At least you're a fast learner."
He smiled.
"Step to your right."
"I guess I'll take that as a compliment. I assume you have a laundry room somewhere on the ship?"
"Why would I need one of those?"
"To dry my clothes after this?" I laughed as he spun me out and drew me back to his chest.
"I haven't completely finished the ship yet, but I'll keep that in mind for our future."
"Our future? So, you honestly think you and I..."
"Are you analyzing us? What did I tell you about that?"
I murmured fine and looked off to my side. The city was now a mere blip in the distance, and we were sailing towards the open sea, towards heavier fog and harsher rain.
As more fog crept aboard the ship, I noticed that the original song had ended, and another song, a much slower one with harp strings, was beginning to play. I took one too many left steps and tripped over my own foot, nearly falling to the floor before Jonathan swooped down and caught me. "I guess you don't have a sense of direction, either," he smirked and pulled me up. "You're off to a good start, though." He pushed me against the railing and lowered his head to mine, keeping my body trapped within his arms. I shut my eyes as he slid his tongue against my lips and softly forced them apart. I moaned and threaded my fingers through his wet hair, kissing him back like my life depended on it. He broke away and pulled my sweater over my head, pressing his lips against mine. He whispered, "Have you ever had sex in the rain?" He started ripping the buttons off my soaked shirt. I shivered as the cold air hit my bare skin. "No?" "Are you sure?" I nodded. "Me either. Until today, that is." I gasped and untangled myself from his embrace, ignoring the heated glare he was now giving me. "Are you kidding me? Do you have any regard for privacy? At all?" I took several steps alongside the railing, making sure I was far out of his reach. "Get back over here. Now." "What if another yacht rolls by and sees us? What if someone from your crew comes up here looking for you and sees us having sex?" "He'll record it and put it on YouTube." "I'm not joking. You don't find that inappropriate?" "Can I buy you a thesaurus?" I rolled my eyes. "I know you're used to pushing the envelope, but you have to admit that my crew never bothers me. And do you see any other ships coming our way?" He stepped towards me before I could get away, pressing me against the railing again. "As a matter of fact, have you seen any ships sailing today?"
"No."
"No?" He reached behind my back and popped my bra snaps. "Why do you think that is?"
"It's Sunday. People don't sail until the late afternoon."
"Sunday is actually the best day for people to sail."
He flung my bra across the deck, and they start sailing early.
"There were over 300 yachts docked at the port we left, and not a single one of them is setting sail today. Why is that the case?"
I could see my breaths suspended in the air amidst the raindrops, could feel my nipples hardening in the cold. I covered my breasts with my hands and shrugged. "Too foggy?" He popped the button off my pants and yanked them down. He ripped my panties off with one hand and tossed them out into the sea.
"Try again."
"Because..." I was withering under his, "I'm too angry to play games with you," stare. "Because you paid all those people not to sail today?"
"I did. Because the woman I'm dating insists on keeping our relationship a secret for some strange-ass reason. I think she's scared to admit that she really is ashamed of me."
I sighed. "For the umpteenth time, I'm not ashamed of you. I just don't want other people..." He bit down on my lips, hard.
"If you've fulfilled your I must be difficult with Jonathan quota for the day, I would like to end this date properly. And by properly, I mean fucking you against this railing until you can't walk."
"I..."
"Or talk,"
I gasped. My knees had already gone weak from him saying those words.
"I like you a lot, Claire. I really do."
He pulled a condom out of his pocket and let his pants fall to the deck.
"Stop trying to fight it. It's okay for you to like me back."
"I never said that I didn't like..." He crushed his lips onto mine and lifted me onto the small ledge that jutted out from the middle of the railing. He spread my legs apart and drove his dick inside of me with one thrust, filling me with every thick inch all at once. He grabbed onto the slippery railing above my head and moved in and out of me, keeping his lips attached to mine, preventing me from crying out in pleasure. The rain started to pick up speed, started to unleash heavier drops on us, but he didn't seem to care. He kept punishing me with his slow thrusts, kissing me senseless, ignoring the hard scratches I was leaving against his back. I moaned against his mouth, begging him to stop kissing me so I could breathe. But he didn't. He made love to my lips, exploring every inch of them with his tongue. I felt our hips jerking at the exact same time, and felt a scream rising up my throat. But he muffled my mouth with another kiss that pushed me even further to the edge. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. He let my lips go for a split second to say, "Let go." And my body convulsed and shook. Every nerve ran wild and exploded. "Jonathan!" I caught one breath and fell into his arms. I felt him pushing me back against the railing, felt him pulling out of me. "I think I need to..." "Stop talking, but I..." "Do not say another word." He narrowed his eyes at me. He reached down to the deck for his pants and pulled out another condom. "You don't need to say anything for the rest of the day."
Chapter 17. Jonathan. A few weeks later. I watched Claire's chest rise and fall as she lay on my couch. She'd fallen asleep minutes after we had sex against my office windows. I brought my hand to her face and pushed a few stray hairs off her forehead, smiling at how beautiful she was, how peaceful she looked. She wasn't wearing any makeup today, and for the first time I realized that she had light freckles on each of her cheeks, and that her long and full eyelashes naturally bowed upwards. And I'd kissed her lips thousands of times, but I'd never noticed the tiny tan mole above her top lip. Why didn't I notice her before this year? We had to have crossed paths at least once. I wasn't sure what was going on between us, but whatever it was, I didn't want it to stop. It was like nothing I'd ever felt before. The women I'd been with in the past were mostly a means to pass the time, a way to fill my days with something steady until I was bored or driven away by their erratic behavior. But Claire never bored me, never annoyed me, even when she was frustrating the shit out of me. I trailed my fingertips against her mouth, and her eyes fluttered open. "Hi." "Hi." She blinked and slowly sat up. "Do you get aroused by watching me sleep?" "No, but if you didn't snore so much, maybe I would." She rolled her eyes and tapped her shoulder, her way of saying she was ready for me to put her clothes back on. I picked up her bra from the floor and clasped it around her back. I stared at it for a few seconds, looking at the black lace that covered the cups, at the red silk that lined the edges. I looked down and realized that her panties were an exact match. "How cute." "Is this a new bra?" I slid the straps over her shoulder. "I've never seen you wear this one before." "You think I bought brand new lingerie just for you?"
"Did you?"
"No." She leaned over and reached for her shirt. "Sorry to break it to you, but you're not that special. I found this in my closet yesterday, while I was cleaning it out, and I reached around her and gently ripped the small white tag that was hanging from the side. I held it in front of her and smiled. "Next time you happen to find something in your closet, make sure you cut the tag off first." Her face turned bright red. "I love it." I kissed her right strap and helped her into her shirt. "Would you like to go out to dinner tonight?" "Anywhere you want. And yes, we can arrange to sit in a private room." She didn't say anything. She just sat there blushing. "Claire?" "I can't. I have to be home by 8 tonight. I'm helping the girls make cupcakes for a bake sale." "A bake sale? For what?" "For the cheerleading squad." She put on her pants. "All 20 of them are going to be there tonight, and I need to make sure my house doesn't burn down." "Hmm. Do your daughters know you're dating me?"
"Not yet."
"Of course not." "Okay. Since we can't do dinner, let's make use of what little time we have."
"How about watching a movie at your place? I think that would get me back in time."
"No, I have a much better idea." I stood up and grabbed her blazer off the coat rack. "How do you feel about pizza?"
"Pizza?"
"Yes, it's a popular dish made from dough, tomato sauce, and cheese. It's baked in an oven and sold in boxes all over the world." She smiled. "You don't strike me as a take-out pizza type of guy. Who said anything about takeout? Claire tossed another ball of dough into the air and smashed it with her hands, making a gust of flour float across the air and fall onto my floor. Then she giggled like a child. I shook my head. It doesn't take much to entertain you, does it? I'm not the one who suggested we make pizza from scratch. My mom used to do this with me and my... She stopped. She would get all the best stuff from the store, and we'd waste a whole Saturday baking 5 or 6 huge pizzas. Sounds like fun. It was. The oven's timer went off, and I slipped an oven mitt on my hand. I carefully pulled the pepperoni and spinach pizza off the rack and set it down on the island. I felt Claire moving behind me and turned around. What are you doing? I was going to pour us both a glass of wine. She held up the glasses and her eyes met mine. You don't want one? Yes. My heartbeat started to speed up. Is red okay with you? It's perfect. We both stood still and stared at each other, not moving, not saying anything. The second alarm for the breadsticks was blaring, but neither of us made an attempt to shut it off. I closed the gap between us and wrapped an arm around her hips, looking down into her gorgeous green eyes, pretending not to notice how loudly her heart was thumping against her chest. She reached up and placed her arms around my neck, pressing her body tightly against mine, standing on her toes to reach my lips. I bent down to kiss her, watching her close her eyes, watching her take a short breath in anticipation. But then I stopped. Fuck. I cleared my throat. We should eat. She opened her eyes and stepped back. Yeah, you're right. She walked around me and grabbed a bottle of wine. I waited until she sat down and we ate our food in our own special silence. Though at this point, I wasn't even sure if it could really be called silence. All we had to do was look at each other to have a conversation. Words weren't really necessary. I could tell when she was thinking about work, when she was thinking about us, or when she was putting on her best poker face to pretend like she wasn't thinking about me. She put down her pizza crust and sighed. Where do you buy your wine? What do you mean? You have a wine room in every place you've showed me, even on your yachts. But none of the brands are domestic, and I know my wine. You can't buy most of your collection in America. I smiled. Very astute. I stock up on most of it twice a year. I go to a collector's vineyard in France. I'll take you there on my jet this summer. Okay, she looked off to the side, like she always did when she doubted something, when she was analyzing us. What is it now, Claire? What's wrong?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I set my plate down and walked over. I need to ask you another personal question, a very personal question.
Okay,
she sipped her wine. Go ahead. We've been having sex since, what, late January? It's about to be May.
That's not a question.
I can't think of one week when we didn't have sex at least once.
Also not a question.
Why haven't you gotten your period? She spluttered her wine into the air.
What?
You heard me. I wrapped my arms around her waist. I'm not complaining. I just want to know why you've never mentioned anything about your time of the month.
Oh my God, you ask the worst personal...
And you always try to change the subject. I'm waiting.
I can't believe you're asking me about menstruation. Do you have any sense of shame or...
Claire?
Ah,
she shook her head.
I was really depressed after my divorce.
I can't put how depressed into words, but I couldn't get out of bed. I had to force myself to eat. And I just couldn't function.
So, after I'd lost about 10 pounds from wasting away, I made myself go to the doctor, and he prescribed some antidepressants. One of the side effects was irregular periods, and... Do I really need to go into this?
You do. I need to know.
She sighed. I got my period every day for the first 2 months, and they swore that was typical for first-time dosage. Then I got it for 6 more months, and then it just stopped. I kept taking the medicine for a year after that. But when I decided to stop, it never came back. They ran test after test,
and said that everything was normal, that I was perfectly fine. They said that I may experience spotting from time to time, but I'll probably never get a full period again. Happy?
Ecstatic.
She rolled her eyes and stepped out of my embrace.
Which picture is of your sister, Haley?
She walked toward the fireplace.
The one on the left.
She looks just like you. She took the picture off the mantel and looked at it. She didn't say anything, but I knew why she was scrutinizing it. At first glance, Haley was just a beautiful blue-eyed girl in a yellow sundress. But upon further notice, you could see the hundreds of red-lined scars and cuts that sat on her wrists. They completely covered her arms.
That's the main reason why I can't forgive my parents so easily. I cleared my throat. Haley started cutting herself once we were put in separate foster homes. That's how she dealt with not having any family around. I've paid to have the majority of the marks removed, but she insists on keeping the ones on her arms.
I'm so sorry. Is that a Scrabble necklace she's wearing?
I smiled.
It is. She's the captain of her school's Scrabble team. $50,000 in tuition every year, and she wants to play Scrabble. Isn't that ridiculous?
She laughed.
Do you two play when she visits you?
There wouldn't be a point. She'd beat me in seconds. The only game I can beat her in is Monopoly, but only because that's my favorite game.
Ashley and Caroline beat me at it all the time, even when I cheat.
On family game night?
Yeah. She put the picture back on the shelf and slowly walked over to me, giving me a look that would make me do anything for her. Then she leaned in for a kiss. I wanted to kiss her back, needed to kiss her back, but I didn't. I turned away and sighed.
It's 7:30. I should take you home now.
I pulled my Murcielago outside of her house and turned off the engine.
Greg parked your car 3 houses down. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll see you after work tomorrow.
No, you won't, she said. I'll be busy all week.
You know that already?
I do. She looked up at me, giving me that sultry look again.
God, she needs to go, now.
Well, I'll see you when you're not busy. I unbuckled my seatbelt and opened my door, but she grabbed my shoulder.
Wait, can I ask you something?
Anything.
You haven't kissed me all day. Are you going to kiss me goodnight?
No.
What?
She looked stunned.
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Is this because I haven't told my daughters about us?
I laughed.
No, even though I'm pretty sure they know you've been dating someone. You could at least admit it. They're 16, not 6.
Is it because I was quiet at dinner?
I enjoy our silent dinners. I reached over and caressed her face.
You know that.
Well, you're going to be the only one that regrets this lack of goodnight kiss, Jonathan. While you're lying in bed thinking about how you should have kissed me, I'll be too busy to think about you.
Oh, really?
Yes, my team is staying late all week, so I won't be able to slip away into your secret rooms. I probably won't see you until next weekend, maybe even the week after that. I need to catch up with my other friends now that I think about it.
Do you see me crying?
You are mad at me about something. What is it?
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad that I'm falling for you.
Well?
She unbuckled her seatbelt and looked around. She leaned forward to kiss me, but I held her still and whispered against her lips. I didn't kiss you today because I made a promise to myself yesterday.
What promise?
You don't need to know.
Tell me.
I didn't say anything. I just watched as she crossed her arms and narrowed her eyes.
Jonathan, you're being childish again. If there's nothing wrong and if...
I pressed my finger against her mouth.
I promised that the next time I kissed you, I'd be kissing both sets of your lips.
She gasped and blushed bright red.
Good night, Claire. I'll see you next weekend.
Chapter 18. Claire.
You look sexy at this morning's meeting. I love when you wear black. Jonathan texted me.
Thank you. Smiley face.
Can I see you tonight?
I hesitated to respond. Depends on if I finish all my reading or not.
Bring it with you. I have work to do as well.
You seducing me isn't real work. His text came back within seconds.
You're right. That doesn't take much effort at all. It'll be strictly professional tonight. I was serious about that promise.
I don't believe you.
You should. Greg will pick you up at 8.
I set my phone down and smiled. I was getting ready to finally mention Jonathan to Ashley and Caroline. I'd been holding it off for long enough, and since our exclusive dating arrangement was starting to resemble some sort of relationship, I wanted them to be okay with it. I set snacks and drinks on the dining room table like I always did on family meeting nights, and waited for them to get home from cheerleading practice. Mom! Mom! They both came running into the kitchen, talking at once.
Did I tell you about this? Did you know the training was this Saturday? Can I borrow $20? Can I have $20? If you give her 20, can I have 40? What about...
I usually waited until they realized that I couldn't understand them when they did this. But my blank stare didn't seem to be working today. They were blabbering at full speed, flipping their silky red hair over their shoulders at the exact same moments, never stopping to catch a breath.
Okay, okay. One at a time, please. Who was talking first?
Me,
Ashley clapped.
I think the first order of business tonight needs to be discussing me and Caroline getting separate cars.
Okay, I sat down. I have to hear this.
Caroline shrugged and sat down across from me. So, Ashley said, smiling, as you know, we're 16 years old and we're both straight-A students. We hardly get in trouble, unlike most kids our age, and... we're both members of the Junior Aviation Scholars Program, which is only open to 10 kids per year for the entire country. And we both have spots.
Go on.
So we need separate cars.
What?
That's it? That's your entire argument, Ashley? Yeah. That sums it up pretty well, I think. What do you think, Caroline?
Her co-conspirator nodded.
Okay, well... I'm aware that you're both 16 and that you're great students. It's your job to be. I'm also well aware that you don't get into much trouble, but it's because I don't tolerate any. And I'm very glad that you're part of the... I took a deep breath and paused. Junior Aviation Scholars Program, and I recall buying you both new pilot outfits once you received those spots. However, seeing as though you don't pay your own insurance for the car you drive now... are involved in the same exact activities, and aren't trying to buy your own car with your own money, you can either enjoy the shared car or give it back to me. Your choice.
Ashley rolled her eyes and sat down.
What about letting one of us borrow your car on the weekends, then? Caroline scrolled through her phone. Would that work? What if we came up with a car-sharing schedule or something? I think there's an app for...
No. Car conversation... is over. Now, I need to speak with you both about something very important. I want you to know that I'm currently seeing someone. Someone I think I really like. I'm not sure if I'll ever let him meet you or not, but...
Is he hot? Where'd you meet him? Is that why you've been smiling so much lately? And going out so much? You don't want him to meet us? Is it because he's not hot? You're dating someone ugly? Why would you do that? You're so pretty.
I sighed. Please let me finish. I met him at work, and just so you're aware, he's a bit younger than me. They stopped stuffing their mouths with junk and exchanged puzzled looks. Then they both stared at me, like I was some type of art exhibit. They did this routine quite often. So often that I didn't think they realized how intense their joint stare-fest looked. Most of the time it meant that they were thinking about something... and since I was convinced that they shared a brain, it usually took them a while to formulate a verbal thought. Caroline tilted her head to the side.
When you say younger, do you mean younger like regular younger? Or do you mean you could go to prison if we call the cops on you younger?
Ashley raised her eyebrow.
Because if you want us to keep quiet, we will. But you're definitely going to have to reconsider getting us...
What? Why would you even... I stopped. I didn't need to stress myself out over their warped line of thinking.
He's 11 years younger than me. They looked at each other and laughed hysterically. Then they started talking to one another as if I wasn't sitting in the room.
So he's basically 30. What's so wrong with that? I don't know. Isn't 30, like, middle-aged? Or is that 50?
I think people should stop counting their birthdays after they turn 25. After that, you're pretty irrelevant, and you just start looking bad and letting yourself go.
Do you think the guy she's dating is hot?
Probably not.
She didn't say he was hot. If he was hot, she would have said that first. Did she tell us his name?
It's probably Taylor. That's a nice 30-year-old name.
Taylor? I like it. I wonder if...
Thank you both for listening. I cut off their ridiculous conversation. You two are okay with me dating someone?
Yeah. It's about time. You deserve someone amazing.
Ashley stood up and hugged me. Whoever he is, I hope he can talk you into buying us separate cars for our senior year.
Caroline walked over and hugged me, too.
I agree. It's good seeing you smile again, even if the guy isn't hot.
So, the top four ideas for the S-Tablet slogan are, you know what? These are all terrible, aren't they?
Mr. Barnes laughed.
Yes, they really are. I couldn't help but laugh, too. Let's just call it a night.
At 9 o'clock? Sure you don't want to stay until midnight like yesterday? I'm starting to feel like corporate is my second home.
Positive. I closed my folder and stood up. I actually have plans for a change. I'll see you on Monday. I walked out of his office and headed into mine, moving Jonathan's latest flower arrangements to one side of the room. I'd given up on asking him to stop sending them. He sent at least 200 blooms a day. He'd even hired a horticulture expert. She came in every day at noon to prune the old ones and water the new ones. I took off my heels and changed into a pair of slippers, wishing that I could somehow fast forward to the end of the S-Tablet campaign. I was working double the hours, and while the new necessary overtime for managers policy had been quite beneficial for my savings account, it drained most of my body's energy. I put my head down on the desk, and my phone rang. Ashley.
Yes, Ashley? I answered. Is it okay if me and Caroline spend the night at Jasmine's house tonight? I know you wanted to watch a movie with us later, but it is a Friday. And I know you're already going to say something about us driving late. So Jasmine's mom said she could pick us up and drop us off tomorrow.
I thought you two had a junior pilot seminar tomorrow. Didn't you beg me to pay the $200 registration fee?
It was pushed back because a few people failed the simulation test.
I sighed.
Is this sleepover co-ed? I didn't say it was a sleepover, Mom. It's...
Ashley?
There might be a few guys there.
Of course.
Have Jasmine's mother call me, then I'll... Hold on. She's right here.
I rolled my eyes and introduced myself to a soft-spoken Mrs. Hines. She was a few years younger than me, but from what I remembered about her at the mother-daughter cheerleading retreats, she seemed to have a good set of morals. I made sure that no boys would be sleeping in the same room with the girls, and after she assured me that she and her husband would be taking turns to check on the party, I gave in and agreed to let them go.
Hello, beautiful. What are you doing?
Jonathan texted me as soon as I hung up, about to head home and take a long shower.
You're still at corporate?
Unfortunately. What are you doing?
Coming downstairs to see you.
I shut down my computer and stood up. I stacked all the S-Tablet notes into a pile and crossed another date off my calendar. My eyes veered towards the box that held the last Friday of the month, where the words, Jonathan's birthday, were written in small print. I had no idea what to get for him. He seemed to have everything already. As a matter of fact, any time I asked him what he wanted for his birthday, he would simply change the subject.
Hey,
he walked into my office.
Are you still too busy for me?
Actually, I was supposed to be watching a movie with my girls later, but they just ditched me for a co-ed sleepover. Can you believe that?
I can't believe you're surprised, he laughed. What movie were you going to watch?
Some teen movie about vampires, evil curses, and... I don't know. They picked it out.
Hmm.
You should spend the night with me, then. You haven't seen my house yet.
How many houses does he have?
No thanks. I shook my head. No thanks? Why?
Because I don't feel like having sex with you.
He rolled his eyes. Even if that was true. We don't always have to have sex, Claire. You know that.
I did know that. And I was scared of that.
The days when we didn't have sex were more intimate than the days when we did. Jonathan had the most thoughtful ways of showing his affection, and no matter what I did to try and resist, I only ended up giving in and falling further into him. Like this past Monday, when I told him I skipped breakfast because I was running late, and he had the chef team of True Blue Cafe deliver me a plate of gourmet crepes and fruit. Or Wednesday, when I wasted coffee on my favorite suit, and he sent Greg out to buy me two new ones. Or maybe it was yesterday when he noticed I'd been standing in heels all day and massaged my feet until I fell asleep.
So, is that a yes to coming home with me?
He smiled. No, it's still a no. I'm exhausted and I need to shower and...
Hush.
He wrapped his arms around my shoulders and walked me out of the room. We took the elevator to the garage, and he led me over to his newest car, a black Aston Martin. He opened the passenger door, and I hesitated. I'd spent the night with him before, but that was in his corporate bedroom, on his sofa sleeper. Not at his house, where he would undoubtedly and successfully seduce me. That was before we officially began dating, before our unexplainable connection to each other was deepened with his thoughtfulness and late-night phone conversations, before I had to admit to myself that my feelings for him were growing deeper and deeper every day.
Is there a reason you're not getting into the car? Is something wrong?
He raised his eyebrow. No, I was just thinking.
About?
About how I need to catch up on some reading tonight. I needed to figure out a way to get out of this. He was getting too close.
Way too close.
And we still hadn't discussed our thoughts on whatever this relationship was. Maybe you and I can meet up for breakfast tomorrow and... He scooped me into his arms and placed me into the car, buckling my seatbelt like I was a toddler. He flicked the child safety lock on the door before shutting it and walked over to his side.
You are unbelievable. Do you know that?
He revved up the car and sped away.
Do you get a cheap thrill out of testing my nerves?
It's more of an adrenaline rush. I wasn't joking about the reading. I actually am a full day behind.
Would you like me to make Monday a company-wide off day so you can catch up?
What?
I didn't stutter. If you need me to do that, I will, because I can guarantee you won't be getting any reading done tonight.
My cheeks turned bright red. Did you not hear me say that I don't feel like having sex with you tonight? Did you catch that sentence at all?
I'm allergic to your lies, Claire.
He looked over at me and smiled. Your poker face doesn't work on me anymore. I sat back in the seat and looked out the window, laughing on the inside. I watched as the bright skyline of downtown disappeared in my side mirror, as the streetlights that hovered over the lanes became less frequent. I could see that we were driving past property estates, mansion-like houses with sprawling lawns and mile-long gates, houses that were standing further and further apart. Jonathan began to slow his car down, pulling up to a colossal black gate. He rolled his window down and punched in a code, causing the gate to slowly slide open. He drove down a long gravel road that was lined with bright yellow ginkgo trees. There was a small courtyard in the distance, and a gray-stoned fountain stood stoic amidst a large bed of well-trimmed grass. I kept my eyes forward, thinking that whatever his house looked like, it couldn't be grander than any of the yachts he'd shown me. But once the house came into view, I had to hold back a gasp. It was unbelievably beautiful, stunning, an architect's dream. It was a colonial-style mansion with white stones that gleamed against the sunset. It had to have been built in the 1930s. The marbled pillars that led into the entrance were reminiscent of the ones I'd seen in my history design books. The arched windows, there were far too many to count, were at least 8 feet tall, and the glass within them was tinted black.
Claire?
Jonathan was standing at my door with his arm outstretched.
Would you like to come inside?
I stepped out of the car and followed him up the smooth slate steps and past the vintage front door. The inside of the house was a stark contrast to the outside. While a few remnants of the colonial style had been saved, most of the house had been completely modernized. There were walls constructed completely from glass and freestanding spiral staircases. There were also high-vaulted ceilings and recessed lighting. Why does he need all this space? He stopped walking once we arrived in what appeared to be an old parlor room. He pulled out a chair for me and walked behind the enormous bar. I looked all around me, admiring the original artwork that hung in sparkling silver frames. Will you give me a tour of everything before we leave? Of course. He opened a cabinet. I can show you around the whole place tomorrow. Do you really need more than one house in the same city? Why can't you just stay in this one? It's more than big enough. I see my properties as investments. He uncorked a bottle of wine. This house isn't really a home right now. It's considered to be a landmark. Why? It once belonged to Charles Ellis, the other designer of the Golden Gate Bridge. He built this house to show off how innovative he could be, how far he could push structural design in the 1930s. Apparently he was spending too much time on it, so they put him off the bridge project before it was completed.
He never got credit for helping?
Not until 2007, he said as he handed me a glass. He'd been dead for decades by then, though.
How sad. What made you buy it?
I was looking for an estate to invest in years ago, and it caught my attention as soon as I drove by. It reminded me of a house in a book I read once. It's a classic, but I can't remember the name of it for the life of me right now.
What's the book about?
Are you going to try and guess the title? He smiled. Are you that good with books?
Maybe.
1920s. Jazz age. Wealthy guy who loves to throw lavish parties. Townspeople have no idea how he acquired his wealth, and he's in love with
the Great Gatsby?
He nodded and took a sip of his wine. I'm impressed. This house doesn't really feel like single-person space. It seems like it'd be more fitting for a family. I can see that. Maybe someday I'll have one here.
I stilled.
It was moments like this that the insecurities I'd managed to bury crawled out of the ground and laughed in my face. I knew damn well that this fling wouldn't last forever, that we weren't meant to be together. But there were small instances that made those facts more apparent, more glaring. And any time those instances came up, the confidence I'd built up quickly crumbled into a million little pieces.
Can I be frank with you for a few seconds, Jonathan?
You're asking for permission to speak?
I sighed.
You just reminded me of a reason why I shouldn't be with you. Come again? You and I should end this before it gets...
Before it gets what?
He set his glass down and narrowed his eyes at me. You just said you wanted to have a family of your own here one day, and I can't give you that. Ever. My tubes are tied, and even if I were to get that reversed, it's pretty risky for someone at my age to... Anyway, we're not that serious about each other, so I don't know why I even...
I sighed. I think we should go back to the strictly sex thing that we had before.
I don't want to hold you back from enjoying your 20s. I definitely enjoyed mine, and I want you to do the same. After we get done having sex tonight, take me home, and we can try to put whatever this is back to where it once was. He stared at me, blinking slowly as if he was trying to process everything I'd said. I braced myself for his rebuttal, but he simply rolled his eyes and down the rest of his wine. He strolled over to me and pulled me out of my chair. He placed his arms around my waist and pressed his forehead against mine. One, I've never had any desire to have kids of my own. Never. Two, when I said I wanted a family here, I was referring to one that would rent out this house, because I'm putting it on the leasing market at the end of the year. Three, you should have told me that your tubes were tied a long time ago. I would have stopped buying so many fucking condoms. And four, you've never struck me as the insecure type, so I'm not sure why you've been backpedaling so much lately. But let me make this clear. I am serious about you. I am enjoying my 20s. We're not going back to a strictly physical relationship.
and I'm not taking you home until tomorrow. Are we clear?
Yes, I whispered, and felt my heart skip a beat.
Good. Let's take a shower. Together? Of course not.
He released me from his arms.
I'll take mine upstairs and you'll take yours downstairs. As soon as we're done, I'll tuck you into bed and kiss you goodnight.
Before I could fire back, he clasped my hand and led me out of the parlor and up the grand staircase. He twisted the doorknob to a black door and pulled me inside a massive bathroom. Wow. It was the size of my living room 5 times over. The crystallized glass shower alone was the size of my office. From its windows, I could see that there was a wet bench that wrapped around its insides, a sleek entertainment system that was embedded into the wall, and rotating panels with water jets that hung from the ceiling. Across the room was a marble spa tub that looked like it was meant to be a wave pool, and on the back wall, an open sauna puffed steam across the room's sparkling white floors. I stepped forward and ran my fingers against the marble countertop. Curious, I reached out to touch the quartz-like material that surrounded the wall-length mirror, but I felt Jonathan wrapping his arms around me from behind. You frustrate the shit out of me, Claire. He looked at me in the mirror, sighing. That said, I can't get enough of you for some reason. Every time I think that you've almost accepted us, you come up with some new ridiculous reason to pull away. Well, you're not exactly the...
Shh.
He spun me around and kissed my lips.
You're not allowed to talk tonight.
He slowly lifted my shirt over my head.
But you can scream as loud as you want to.
He kissed me again, and my heart started beating faster. Looking into my eyes, he slowly pulled the silver clip I was wearing out of my hair. He tossed it onto the floor with my shirt and began unsnapping my bra. He unclasped my pants and let them fall into a pool on the floor. Then he stepped back and looked at me, really looked at me, as if he were regarding something valuable, something he genuinely cared about. He bent down and lifted my feet up one at a time, carefully slipping my heels off. He moved the shoes to the side and delicately kissed his way up my legs, stopping once he reached my waist. He held me steady as he ran his tongue above the outline of my lace panties, pressing soft, warm kisses against my skin. As he slid my panties down to the floor, my body became a quivering mess. He hadn't touched or kissed me since that day he told me about the promise. And I was suddenly feeling nervous.
Why are you shaking?
He stood up and brushed his fingers against my lips.
I'm going to make it perfect for you.
Make what perfect? I barely managed.
You're not supposed to talk, Claire.
He ran his fingers through my hair.
If you say anything else, I'll have to punish you. Are we clear?
I nodded.
Good.
He caressed my breasts and stepped back, gesturing at his clothes.
Your turn.
I stood still for several seconds, not sure where to start, what to do. He and I had had sex hundreds of times, and we'd definitely become comfortable with each other's bodies. But this felt more sensual, more intimate.
Claire?
He grabbed my hand and placed it on his chest.
Start with my tie.
I rose up on my tiptoes and looped my fingers through the knot, trying my best to avoid his heated gaze. As the tie fell to the floor, I began unfastening his shirt's buttons, smiling as I felt his skin warm up, as I felt his reaction to me. I reached up and slid the shirt off his shoulders, taking my time with his sleeves. I stared at the perfectly chiseled chest that stood in front of me, running my hands across it and biting my lip.
Finish.
He caught my wrist and darted his eyes from mine to his pants. I unbuckled his belt, sliding it free from the pant loops. I undid the button on his slacks, and they fell down to the floor without any help. Since he'd already slid out of his shoes, he smirked and playfully tugged at his dark blue briefs, where his huge erection was straining against the fabric. I bent down to pull them off, but instead of using my hands, I used my teeth. I sat up on my knees and rubbed my hands up and down his length, making him gasp, and then I took all of him into my mouth. I eased him in and out, slowly flicking my tongue against his shaft. I cupped his balls in my hands, softly massaging them as I sucked on him faster and faster. "Claire," he groaned. "Claire, stop." I slowly pulled back like I was going to consider his pleas, but then I twirled my tongue around his thick tip, watching him shut his eyes in tortured pleasure. His guttural response to me was driving me insane. I felt so in control. I forced all of him into my mouth again, feeling his muscles twitch and spasm with the hard pressure of my tongue. I started massaging him with my hands again, sucking on him even harder. But he yanked me up by my shoulders and spun me around. He bent me over the marble counter and slid a finger inside of me, forcing wetness to slip down my thighs. I waited to feel exactly what I wanted, what I needed. I waited for him to impale me and make me scream, but nothing came. Before I could turn around and ask what was wrong, I felt him lifting me into his arms and carrying me across the room towards the shower. The glass door slid open as we approached, and as soon as he set me down on the floor, the lights that hung above started to glow in a soft yellow. The water jets that protruded from the walls and the ceiling began to spray warm water over us. He walked over to a hanging shelf and picked up a couple of pink bottles. "Tonight isn't about me, Claire. It's about you." He spun me around so my back was against his torso. Then he began palming my breasts with one hand. "You are very tempting, though." He pressed his erection against my ass, frustrating me, making me want to turn around and... "Are you about to say something? Claire?" The way he said my name made me yearn for him even more. "Are you frustrated?" he whispered in my ear. "Tempted to try me? Because you don't believe what I said about not talking?" I sucked in a breath and shook my head. "I hope not." The next thing I felt were cool droplets being squeezed onto my head. Then I felt his hands gently spreading the cream all over my hair. I shut my eyes and leaned against him as he lathered my hair, as he moved his fingers around my scalp in a circular motion, leaving no part untouched. "Please don't stop." He poured more droplets into my hair and massaged me again and again, making me weaker with each rotation of his fingertips. "Does it feel good?" he whispered, pulling all of my hair to the top of my head. I murmured, "Yes," and I could sense him smiling behind me. He pushed my head forward so that it was directly underneath one of the water jets, and he took his time rinsing my hair clean. When there were no more suds sliding towards the drain, I tried to lean against him again, stand still. He held my shoulders, preventing me from doing that. "I'm not done," I sighed. Then I felt him caressing my back with a soft loofah, brushing it around in soft circles, leaving a sweet vanilla scent on my skin. After he thoroughly scrubbed my legs, he kissed my right shoulder, trailing kisses across my back, until he reached my left one. He slid the loofah underneath my arms and rubbed it against my stomach, moving it up and around my breasts. He used his other hand to touch between my legs to reposition a water jet so it was streaming up against my most sensitive part. "I'm going to fuck you with my mouth tonight," he whispered. I gasped, "What?" And then I shook my head because I didn't want him to think I was trying to be punished. "You heard me." He walked around so that we were facing each other, locking his eyes on mine. "I'm going to be your first, and I'm going to make you come over and over and over again." He lowered his head and kissed my lips. "It's going to be so fucking good that you're going to want me to be your last." My heart stopped, literally stopped, because my knees went weak, and I leaned against the wall, sliding down onto the shower bench. Letting out a low laugh, he leaned down and kissed me one more time. He walked over to the hanging shelf and grabbed a blue loofah, using it to spread a clear gel over his skin. He turned around and looked into my eyes, running the soapy loofah across his perfectly carved chest, across his muscled abs. He let the suds sit on his body for a few seconds, and then he let the water trickle down his body and clear them away. Can't stand up? He raised his eyebrow and I bit my lip.